Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. The world of passive funds is still relatively new to the Indian investor. Most people have only just started realizing that there are products that are mirrored on some of the most commonly known indices like the Sensex 30 or the BSE 100 or the Nifty 50. And these funds can take the form of ETFs, exchange-traded funds or index funds. This week, we are going to delve a little deeper and tell you more about different strategies that are available within the passive universe. The whole concept of smart beta, single factor indices, multi-factor indices. What do all of these really mean? And should you be looking at some of these products that are available in the Indian market? My guests on the show are Akash Jain, Associate Director, Global Research and Design at S&P Dow Jones Indices, and also Anil Ghelani, Senior Vice President, DSP Mutual Fund. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in. So first things first, Anil, your thought, because DSP as a fund house already has a couple of passive products in the market. I remember talking to you last year about the equal weight index. What is your experience in the Indian market so far?
Very good point. In the Indian market today, as we see, the passive funds are growing very rapidly. So about 5 years back, the total size of passive funds was a very small fraction. Today, as we speak, the total passive funds are in the excess of 1,50,000 crore out of a total size of 25 lakh crores of the mutual fund industry. Awareness is also increasing drastically. So 5 years back, maybe if you go and talk to somebody about an index fund, they will not even relate to it. Mm-hmm. They will say, okay, index means something like a benchmark or something like a bellwether index like a Sensex, which tracks mm-hmm. the economy of the market. Mm. Now everybody's aware, people, it's become a buzzword to talk about passive investing or talk about index funds and ETFs. Mm. Mm. So I feel still a lot of way to go to enhance the awareness. Mm-hmm. But most certainly we have come a long way in terms of having investors to look at passive funds in a very serious way.
You gave a large number in terms of total AUM in excess of 1 lakh crores. So I'm guessing a lot of that money is because of products like the CPSE ETF or the fact that the EPFO by its mandate is investing in the equity market via the ETF route?
That's absolutely right. So the Nifty and the Sensex ETFs mm-hmm. have a lot of allocation coming from the EPFO. Mm-hmm. So effectively, whether you know it or not, if people like you and me and Akash who are salaried employees, by default, indirectly, we have some allocation into an ETF.
Yeah, whether we've actively done it or not.
Absolutely.
We're already in a passive fund.
We're already in the passive okay. funds. And the other aspect is the government disinvestment. Mm. So it started with the CPSE ETF, mm-hmm. Which was a big success. Then there was a Bharat 22, the other one. And now, in fact, there is one more ETF which is in the pipeline.
Now, just to keep things very, very simple, I mean, in case you're still new to this, active and passive funds, very simplistically speaking, an active fund will have a fund manager, a human intervention, which is going to be actively selecting stocks, buying stocks, selling stocks. So there's a lot of back and forth that's happening, this churn that's happening. Whereas a passive fund, as the name, why it's called passive, is that it's passive in nature. It simply mirrors an underlying index. And that is where the concept of that underlying index becomes extremely important. Now, Akash, you and your team, I think you've been sort of looking at creating a lot of different indices for the Indian market itself. What is your experience in the Indian market with passive so far?
So let me begin by mm-hmm. talking about the SPIVA scorecard, mm-hmm. which gives which is very symptomatic of the market conditions today. Mm-hmm. So SPIVA is essentially an acronym for S&P Indices versus Active Funds, mm-hmm. where we look to compare the performance of funds in three categories in India, the large cap, the mid-small cap, and the LSS category mm-hmm. Across different time horizons. This is a biannual report which is actually published in 10 geographies globally. Mm-hmm. The oldest report comes in the US, which is about 20 years old now.
Okay.
An important data point that strikes out, is that if you were to pick up any SPIVA scorecard over the past 5 years, you would see majority of the large cap funds underperforming over a 5 year period.
Okay.
Yeah. So indices such as the BSE 100 or the Sensex offer you broad market exposure generally. Then there are active factors that the institutional investors have in the past used factors as a tool to construct portfolio strategically or to tilt weights towards known factors. Mm. The typical factors you would come across are dividend, value, size, quality, momentum, etc.
You know, I want to hold you there because before even we get into factors, which adds a layer of complexity to a simple plain vanilla index, I think the importance of returns is also very, very crucial to this conversation. Why consider passives, right? At the end of the day, we're all getting into a mutual fund from a return perspective. And what you mentioned about the SPIVA scorecard saying that actually actively managed funds are consistently underperforming. If you could elaborate on that point, what does data throw up?
Sure. So let me highlight some of the factors that are providing tailwinds to passive in India, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would probably classify them into two sets. One is the factors that have globally affected the growth of passive. First being, I think, the institutionalization of research. Mm-hmm. As markets have matured over the years, we've seen the institutional share of public equity increasing. So you have more and more institutional investors chasing the same set of stocks mm-hmm. to generate alpha. Secondly, the cost. You know, the active managers generally inherently have higher costs because of, you know, stock and industry research, management fees, trading mm-hmm. fees, etc. Mm-hmm. So a passive product, you know, offers a systematic, transparent, low-cost alternative to investing in markets.
Mm. Now we talk about the return. Again, yeah. I mean, going back to the point that you made that the scorecard is showing that active funds are not able to really show substantial outperformance compared to passive. So if you could just tell us what those numbers look like.
So if you were to look on I think a 10-year horizon, I have a couple of numbers with me here. I think over a 10-year period, we see that the underperformance of, rather the outperformance of active funds is about 50 bips or so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to come closer to, say, 5-year period or 3-year horizon, we do see active funds underperforming.
Anil, your point on, you know, this whole sort of tussle between chasing return and whether it makes sense to be in an active fund because it perhaps is supposed to offer you a better return.
Oh, well, absolutely. So I think there is no doubt that the concept of active management, I'm not saying it's gone away anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The active fund managers still have a huge potential to outperform the benchmark. There is a lot of process involved in the way in which they analyze company, meet management, decide on whether to underweight or overweight stocks, and hence outperform the index. Having said that, it's becoming increasingly challenging to do that because mm-hmm. of some of the reasons that we just spoke about in terms of institutionalization of research, enhanced awareness and information availability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a little bit increasingly difficult, especially I feel in the large cap space.
Now, Akash, I'm going to go back, and this is sort of class 101, passive investing. When you say a factor, what do you really mean? And this whole concept of smart beta, please demystify this for us.
Sure. So indices such as the BSE 100 mm-hmm. or the Sensex essentially help you capture the broad market beta.
Mm-hmm.
Factors typically help you explain the risk return characteristics of stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Factors could typically include, you know, dividend, size, quality, value, momentum, etc.
So essentially a filter that you can apply instead of having a broad index like the BSE 100, if you apply a certain filter, let's say you apply the quality filter,
exactly.
You will come up with a certain list of stocks and there'll be an index which comprises that stocks. Is that
precisely
right?
Precisely. So, mm-hmm. so for example, a quality factor was look to bucket stocks that mm-hmm. have, you know, strong balance sheets or high ROEs, whereas mm-hmm. a value factor would look to bucket stocks together that have, you know, low price to earnings and price to books, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. We did an additional study in Indian markets to see how different factors have performed in Indian context.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that low volatility and quality are the best performing factors.
Mm-hmm.
Also, these factors do not generally outperform or underperform consistently throughout market cycles.
You know, which is where I was coming in. I'm sure you use obviously a set of very complex algorithms to come up with that formula out of which you will create an index of, let's say, quality stocks, right?
Right.
So how often does this formula change? Because in an active fund management, it's the fund manager's prerogative. He can say stock A has quality, and if 6 months down the line he feels it doesn't, he can remove it from the portfolio, add something else. So when you are dealing with an index, which is supposed to be very, very homogeneous, how are these factors applied? And I mean, how frequently does an index like this change?
So at SPDJI, we try and, you know, try and innovate as much as possible and try and come up with indices that are relevant to the market.
Mm-hmm.
We do a deep dive study into to understand how different factors are performed in each market, and then try and construct these factor portfolios for that particular market. So, for example, in case of value, we looked at price to earnings, price to sales, and price to books were the metrics that help, you know, generate mm-hmm. outperformance mm-hmm. and had low correlations with each other. So mm-hmm. that helped you build a value portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Again, similarly for other factors as well.
Mm.
So I think one could move on from looking at single factors to multi-factors.
So apply two filters, basically, instead of just one. Yeah.
Mm. And not all investors may be comfortable choosing the right factor to mm-hmm. invest in. So then there is another layer of complexity that you can add to this, which is the multi-factor concept, mm-hmm. where you're looking to add two or more single factors together mm-hmm. to come up with a portfolio that provides you more smoother returns across different market cycles.
You know, let me bring in Anil over here as well. So this is what's happening on the index front, right? You're getting so many options and so many different indices. In fact, I don't know, what are the factor indices available in India? There's quality, there is value.
Quality, value, momentum, size.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like all the factors that Akash mm-hmm. mentioned, there are mm-hmm. indices available on all of them.
Okay.
But maybe not any live products running on all of them.
Which is my question. Now, where is the market maturity right now? Do you think the market is ready for full throttle multi-factor products? And how do you gauge?
No, I don't think so that market is ready for multi-factor products yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's a awareness and category building exercise.
Okay, I want to, Akash, come back to the point that you raised earlier about the kind of filters. Again, I'm simplifying the word factor filters. Essentially, it's sort of how you're screening stocks and how you're applying it to a certain index. You mentioned that quality is doing well in the Indian context, and there is one more you mentioned.
Low volatility.
Low volatility. As they say, I mean, can history be any gauge of the future? So how would you sort of advise people to start looking at these indices and products that are based on these indices?
So again, I think, as I mentioned, like these factors do come with periods of cyclicity. And there are few set of investors who want to implement their active views in the market.
Okay.
So I'll add one point to that.
Sure.
Like, for example, as you mentioned, if you want to express a view, suppose right now the view in the broader market is that quality stocks could be considered by some people as, let's say, for example, overvalued. Mm-hmm. Just let's take, for example. Mm. And so I want to now buy into value stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave out like a in a polarized market type of situation, you know, top like 10, 15 stocks, which are perceived as good quality stocks. They are very steeply valued. So how do I express that view in the market?
Mm.
So if there is a product available, which has a readily available basket or an index of mm-hmm. only value stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to press.
And we have some such products in the market already.
There
right?
are a few, yeah.
Okay.
So let's say for expressing my that view, I'll mm-hmm. just simply buy that particular mm-hmm. value index fund.
Mm-hmm.
So in an easy, transparent, low-cost manner, I can just enter into that and express my investment view.
In fact, Anil, talking about new products, now we hear that perhaps we'll also have a debt product in the market. It'll be a passive product. I don't know if it'll be an index fund or an ETF. But that's my question. What more should we expect in passives in India in the next 12 months?
In the next 12 to 18 months, the key drivers in the passive space, I feel, will be three or four things.
Mm-hmm.
Point number one will be this type of a government-led disinvestment strategies like the one you mentioned, like the bond
mm-hmm.
ETF
mm-hmm.
under the DIPAM's umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Next key area is commodities.
Okay.
Because now commodities has much more wider scope.
Mm-hmm.
Coming under the overall purview and guidance and regulatory framework of SEBI,
mm-hmm.
where earlier only gold ETF was permitted in
India.
Correct. Now, technically, even much more larger horizon will be opening up.
Okay.
So gradually, commodity-related play will probably see the next.
So if you want to play on copper, if you're very bullish on, you know, palladium or something like that.
Or maybe crude oil or
okay.
silver.
Okay.
And the third aspect is going to be different areas of smart beta,
okay,
where you can combine as we are just speaking, like different factors and mm-hmm. create the right suite of products for the investor
to choose. So in smart beta equity, what do you think you and your friends and colleagues in the AMC business, so what are the smart beta products that you think we'll probably see?
So as of now, there is a huge space to cover even for having plain vanilla single factor smart beta indices.
Okay.
So today there is a lack of products on each of the individual factors.
Okay.
And then because any individual factor has a risk of cyclicality,
mm-hmm.
like today if I have a view that value stocks will mm-hmm. be underperforming, I want mm-hmm. to shift suddenly to growth, I want to enhance momentum, I mm-hmm. want to go on size. So mm-hmm. I need to have products across those range.
Okay.
And then a multi-factor, which at the portfolio managers or a product providers level itself, we are packaging or bundling maybe mm-hmm. three factors together so that mm-hmm. the cyclicality is taken care of itself within mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. product range.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a retail investor or a large institutional investor mm-hmm. can easily select between these two broad categories, okay. single factor or multi-factor.
Yeah, so just to add to what mm-hmm. Anil was saying, so as I mentioned, like single factors have the cyclicity. So, you know, low vol and quality are sort of defensive factors. You know, when mm-hmm. markets are going through a bear phase, they would provide downside protection. Mm-hmm. Whereas factors such as value, size, dividend would, you know, provide you upside when the market's going through a bull phase.
Okay. Another interesting development will happen in terms of, other than factors, sector-based funds.
Okay.
So, for example, today there is a product available on
Bank Nifty.
Nifty, so
because it's the most popular index.
That contains
yeah.
only banks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, let's say we were working on an idea where instead of only banks, mm-hmm. it will be a portfolio of diversified financials. Mm-hmm. So, it will include some NBFCs, some housing finance companies, some mm-hmm. broking firms.
But it'll have to be based
exchanges.
On an underlying index, I'm guessing.
On an underlying
have to create
index.
An index, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. like for example, the team at S&P, mm-hmm. Akash and team also have an index called like diversified financials.
Okay. So maybe as an asset manager, if you want to consider
asset manager,
that as an index.
We can consider yeah. that as an index. Or
okay,
yes,
okay.
or then a new index has to be evolved or developed or created.
Okay.
That's where the innovation will come from.
Will really come in from. Okay, so gentlemen, now I'm going to boil this all down to cost and really portfolio positioning. The biggest advantage, as we know, of passives is that they are low on cost. I remember last time you telling me that, you know, we're talking typically 40 basis points, 50 basis points.
Sure. Yes.
So for multi-factor also, are the costs as low?
So frankly, we have priced our products mm-hmm. in similar low cost environment only.
Okay.
We have not really kept the cost very high.
Mm-hmm.
So that there is a very clear advantage to the investor as well.
My last question to you, and then I want to take the last word from Akash as well. We spoke about how, at least historically in the last 10 years, we've seen that the outperformance of active funds has diminished
yes.
compared to passives. But do you think that's something that can be sustained? Do you think that passives in general will give almost neck-to-neck returns, even going forward in the future? Or is it because of market variation, because the market went through a lull and therefore the active outperformance diminished, specifically on the large cap side?
I think the outperformance has nothing to do with the market going through a different phase.
Mm-hmm.
This we are observing data across long periods of time, across
okay.
multiple market cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So over the, let's say, last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
there have been broadly cycles where some bull market phase, some bear market
mm-hmm.
phase.
Mm-hmm.
But over a long period, on average, the active funds are finding it difficult to outperform the benchmark. Having
mm-hmm.
said that, there are some funds which will continue to outperform.
Sure.
So the best solution for a investor would be to use a kind of a core and satellite approach.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you want to allocate 100 rupees into large caps,
mm-hmm.
maybe 20, 30 rupees, 40 rupees, depending on your judgment or your advisor's suggestions, park it into a low cost passive fund.
Yeah.
And for the balance, let the advisor guide you, whereby she or he will suggest few good portfolio managers, whoever.
Who can really give you that alpha for which you're paying more.
And that, let's say for mm-hmm. a house like us at mm-hmm. DSP, we focus on processes rather than people.
Sure.
So because that process will be consistent over a long period of time.
Sure. Got your point on satellite and core. Yeah.
And so cost will remain low because in that core portfolio, you are paying very low fee.
Absolutely.
So for the satellite allocation, even if some higher fees getting paid on an overall basis,
Your portfolio makes a lot of
sense.
So this has been an interesting conversation. Akash, I want to get the last word from you because, I mean, you obviously with your team have, a view on the global, picture as well, where passives are doing so well. How do you think the Indian market is going to evolve on this side?
So let me start by talking about, an investor comes to an investment manager to pass on the stock mm-hmm. picking decision to the professional investment manager. But the next question that arises to the investor is which mutual fund to choose.
Mm.
And what we've seen in our SPIVA scorecards, one section of the report, which is called the quartile breakpoints, talks about the difference in the fund performance. So based on fund performance, we classify funds into four buckets. And when we compare the performance of the best performing bucket versus the third best, we see the spread is as high as 3% CAGR over the 10-year period.
So simply speaking, being in the right fund is also so important. Otherwise, you could be in mutual funds, but still not be making that kind of wealth.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So two investors investing in the same category mm. of funds could end up with widely different, mm. outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, what we've also seen is that predicting the mutual fund is a tricky situation as well. It's not that easy. Our persistency analysis in India shows that, you know, if we look at the funds that have outperformed or have been in the top quartile over the 5-year period from 2008 to 2014, you know, only 15% of these top quartile funds tend to outperform in the following period. So the relative outperformance to peers does not really sustain. This is the situation in the large cap. In the mid cap, the persistency scores offer relatively better or fare relatively better for mid cap active funds.
So perhaps another strong case for looking at passives. Gentlemen, it's been an interesting conversation. Thank you very much. I think it's an you know, eye-opening insight,
something
that we all need to think about. Appreciate you joining us on the show. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.